Everyone. Everyone. We've come to Solomon's porch this morning. The shadow of the Almighty is in this place. And it's on everyone. There's no reason. There's no reason. We sang the song, "Nothing is impossible for God." There's no reason, church. The only thing that would prevent us from getting what we want this morning is that your level of faith hasn't gotten to that place where it goes, beep, ready. And then Matthew, the 9th chapter. Starting in verse number 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live." Oh, I am so impressed. God is so impressed with that kind of faith. "My daughter's dead, but if you will come and just lay your hand, she's going to live." How does God resist that kind of faith? And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." What level of faith did this woman have that in herself, and God could read her mind and God can read your mind this morning, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, how could God resist? But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Why? "Thy faith," not "my power," "thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that very hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the miserable and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. "Are you kidding? She hasn't been breathing for a long time." But when the people were put forth, you know what? Get out of here. You who are laughing, who you think this is, a bunch of low-level people that need a crutch to hold on to God. If you want, you know, to criticize what we're doing, you know what? Get out, because God's going to do a work here. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maiden arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all of the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Not my power, but according to your faith. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all of that country. As they went out, behold, they brought him to a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." And Jesus went about all of the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Lord, we need your touch this morning. We need your blessing. We need to feel your spirit that we might increase our faith in this place to receive what only faith can bring us, God. It's not just a knowledge. It's a working knowledge of who you are and what you can do. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Two portions of the scripture are just portions that really stand out. Verse 22, Jesus said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And then verse 29, Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You see how paramount it is to have faith in God. So we see here that there are two miracles that could not have happened without faith. But it seems that faith is an elusive thing to define. Even by biblical scholars, even God's definition is somewhat complicated for us to really understand. We're always looking after faith. We're wondering, how in the world can I get more faith? Because if I get more faith, I can get more from God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is the hall of faith, if you will, all of those who did great works because of their faith. And verse number one describes what faith really is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now we can quote that, we can memorize it, but I don't know how many people really understand. In the New International Version, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." You know, we're going to pray for something, we ought to be sure that God is going to respond to our prayer, and certain of what we do not see. You know, God, I already see what I'm asking for. I'm just saying, will you do it now? You see. And if we can imagine it happening by the hand of God, then we can see it happen in all of reality. That's why it's so imperative that we have faith. Yesterday morning, we had a prayer meeting here that was just outstanding, and a prophecy came in, and here's what God said. I was just so impressed. I quoted it last night as we ministered in a church on the northwest side of Milwaukee. Here's what God said. When doctors say that there is no hope, God says, "I smile." He said, "There comes a time when I will not direct you to a doctor or a lawyer. But you will see people drawn to you because of the miracles that I will perform in you because of your faith." And then he went on to say, "Don't pray for miracles." He said, "I don't want you praying for miracles. You pray that you have greater faith and the miracles will come." Oh, God, heal this person. Oh, God, deliver someone. No. Oh, God, would you give me more faith to believe in what I'm asking for? It will become a reality, you see. So, Pastor, how do I get to that level of faith? Well, what is the protocol or the rules of conduct in order to get more faith? Religion always wants a step-by-step formula in order to see their request made known. And you know, religion has accommodated that. You know, you say so many of these prayers and so many of those prayers, and then you give this and you do that, and then all of a sudden God is going to reward you. Well, it's not about just doing a step-by-step doing. I remember being in Rome, and they had a staircase of 100 wooden steps, and there were a multitude of people kneeling on each step, going from step to step, thinking by the time they got to the top, now God is going to answer their prayer. It isn't because of what we do. It's because of what we have within us that God responds to. Religion wants a step by step. In the Old Testament, they went by the rituals, but never saw the miracles. The Pharisees and scribes counted every letter of the law, and they prided themselves on knowing the scripture, but they were so far from God. Most of it is wrapped up in this ninth chapter of Matthew. It shows us step by step what we have to do in order to see more things happen in the church. And there are going to be people who are going to be drawn, like in Acts the fifth chapter, because of all of the miracles that are happening. We won't have to beg people, come on, please, would you come to church? You're going to like it. Oh, our music is so wonderful. You're going to feel the presence. No, they're going to say, when can I come to your church? Because I've got a need. They begged me, they asked me, they encouraged me to come to church, and it took them 3 months before I ever sat in a pew. But one touch from God, and I thought, this is what I have been looking for all my life. Successful in business, had what I wanted, had the family, had the house, had the car, all of these things, but empty. There was this void. And people are running after things through alternative lifestyles and all kinds of other things that can put them out of reality in order to get some peace. But until they come to the Prince of Peace, they'll never find what they're looking for. There are different approaches here in this ninth chapter, but all saw their miracles. One asked, God, if you'll just touch her. Another says, I'm just going to cry out to you. Another says, if I could just touch the hem of your garment. There were four different scenarios here in this Matthew 9th chapter. Jairus comes boldly because his daughter has died, believing if Jesus could just lay hands on her, she would live, and just displays his great faith. Church, we don't like to have needs. We don't like to have difficulties in our life. But it is those very needs that make us dependent upon God and cause us to search out for an answer and elevate our faith. I said it yesterday morning. Brother Rodriguez out of Chicago has a great church there. He preached here a long, long time ago. And one of the things he said is, I asked God for more faith, and I thought, well, that it'll just descend upon me, and then I'll have this great faith to say, I believe God can. And he said, no, it didn't happen that way. One of his children got cancer. His wife had a brain aneurysm, and it drove him to his knees, and he saw his child healed of cancer and his wife healed of this aneurysm, and you know what happened? His faith increased. Now he could walk up to somebody who had cancer, like Sister Berg last week, Sunday, stage 4 cancer, healed by God. I believe that woman has great faith. She always had a great attitude. God's going to take care of me, and God has got to respond. Glory to God. So we need some of these things. The need of a dying child drew Jairus to Jesus. Would he have come to God had he not had this situation? Even as Pentecostals, we have trouble differentiating between two words. One word is faith, the other one is belief. Well, what's the difference between faith and belief? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. So if you don't believe that God is in this place, if you don't believe God's word, you're in a very difficult situation because you're never going to get anything from God. So which is more important to see, my miracles? Is it faith or is it belief? Scriptures say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just by you being here this morning, there's an automatic increase in your level of faith because you're hearing what the word of God says. The problem is that most times when the word faith is used, it is a noun and is not a verb or a word of action. We just think it's something that is, rather than something that does. You see, we can have faith that is an object and not an action. I can have a life full of faith and never get my prayers ever answered. Exercise can be a thing that you read about, or it can be a thing that you actually do. And so faith can be something you read about. Oh, there's all kinds of stories about faith, but real faith is something that is exhibited in each and every one of our lives. Did Jesus' disciples have faith? Of course. But it was like a tool in their belt that they never used. I got it, you know. Peter had a sword. He carried it around with him all of the time. Amen. So let's take a look at Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he had saw him, straightway the spirit tarry him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What did Jesus say in verse 23? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith and believing are not interchangeable. Active faith is true believing. So if you have the word of God, you see the promises, but then it is enacted, then you have faith. Active faith is true believing. Faith, are you ready? Faith is believing God and acting upon what you believe. So when you read the promises of God, but then you actually act on the promises of God, that is then interpreted into faith. It's being persuaded and convinced beyond doubt that God's word is true, even if I don't understand how it works. Faith says I walk into a baptistry, and in the name of Jesus, I go underwater, and when I come up, my sins are all washed away, and we get a brand new slate. I am clean, you understand, but I don't know how that happens. I don't know how God gives me a fresh start. I don't know how he can forget all of my past, but I believe it. And the proof of that belief is to walk into a baptism and have my sins washed away and then put my head on a pillow at night knowing I'm saved. I am clean. John 14 and 12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. And that's not just Pentecostal jargon, you know. We can get our Pentecostal phrases, you know, and we can say them, and they don't mean much if we just keep repeating them and nothing happens. That we repeat and we get frustrated because nothing happens. 95% of the time the word believe is used in the Hebrew Testament, it is used as a verb, a word of action. It requires something. God, I'd like it to rain this afternoon. Well, bring your umbrella. You have to do something to demonstrate to God, I believe you're going to do this, you see? It is so easy for us to set a limit on God because of what we didn't experience. I prayed for that before and it didn't happen, so I'll ask him, but I'm not really expecting anything to happen. The last time, well, it just didn't work for me, and so my faith is decreased. How's the defibrillators working in here? You know? Are you getting to that place where you really believe that something could happen to you this morning? That's why denominational churches just don't believe what we have. Because their faith never steps out into action. They believe all you have to do is show up and do absolutely nothing. There's no responsibility to worshiping God. There's no responsibility to fall under the precepts of God's word. And so nothing ever happens. But when we say, okay, God, I'm going to conform to your word. I'm going to conform to your image. But I also understand that, God, you're going to do something great in my life. If we set a ceiling on what God will do for us, then it is impossible for God to perform the miracles. Well, God doesn't do. I wonder how many times I've talked to people who are churchgoers and tell them about the miracles of God or just the evidence of the Holy Ghost, and they've said, well, God doesn't do that anymore. You're dead. You need a defibrillator. Amen. You need something to shock you into reality. Amen. You know, if you want to go through your entire life with a dead religion that does not do anything for you, that's fine. But at the very end of this thing, I've got a reward for myself, and I've got rewards that are here as well. It's what we believe God is and what God will do for us at any moment that opens the doors to the miracles. It costs us more to put a high ceiling in this church. We could have had a flat ceiling with, you know, ceiling tiles. And it cost us more to have a high ceiling of what God is going to do for us. But I'm telling you, we will not be frustrated Christians because what we're saying is, God, we believe there is nothing that is impossible for you. And every time we have a testimony of someone who had stage 4 cancer or somebody who had an anointed handkerchief and something miraculously happened. Well, what happens? Ooh, I'm getting more faith. If it could happen to her, if it happened to him, it could happen to me. Amen. And until you're in that kind of atmosphere, you will not have enough faith in order to see the results that you want. Glory to God. Too many people sell out. Well, there are too many restrictions there. Well, fine. You want a religion without any kind of reaction? You want a religion that doesn't demonstrate in your life the power of God? You can have that. But what good is it? Either we believe the words of God or it's just lip service frustrating us and God because we aren't acting. Like the first church. Amen. Would you turn to James, the 5th chapter? James chapter 5, familiar scripture. We had a lady in our church years ago that had a neighbor that was diagnosed with a large tumor. She had two little girls, and she said, would you come to their house and just pray for them? And specifically for her, because the doctor said that she probably only has a month, maybe 2 months at all, in order to live. And so I simply went over to the house, I brought the oil, and I read her this scripture: if any among you are afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Amen. What an incredible scripture. I read and I said, do you believe that God could do this for you? And she was so desperate, she didn't want to see these girls growing up without a mom. Took the oil, put it on her forehead, prayed, didn't really feel a thing. Power of God didn't move into that room. 2 weeks later, she called and said, I don't know what happened, but they did an MRI, and there is no tumor there at all. You know? Came through a Bible study, came to church, but had problems with these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you kidding? God just demonstrated to you the miraculous in your life, but you don't believe the rest of it? We can hold on to James, the fifth chapter, and still not live for God. Do you believe what we read? I don't like to say this, but there are some even in our own churches that just don't believe it's happening anymore. Services are dead. Too loud. I can't do that. We just don't want to offend any visitors, so we'll just be incognito. I'm not judging. It's just the truth. But God can only do for us what we will let him do. And when we let him have his way in our song services and in the preaching, when you get to that place where your level of faith says, you know what, I'm not waiting any longer. I believe that God can do it for me this morning. Well, it's not protocol. We don't have the altar call until the end of the service. I don't know, but I heard the beep, and I want the paddles on me right now. I believe something great is going to happen to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to Mark, the second chapter, please. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Teach it in Bible studies all the time. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word of God. See, here comes a faith, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, oh, hallelujah. Anybody see faith in here this morning? When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Glory to God. You see, we don't get faith. It's an unction that comes on us because of an action that we have taken. There are some ladies who have taken it on themselves to come here and pray on Thursday nights for my wife's health. It's not a matter of, well, I believe that God's just going to heal the pastor's wife. No, they put their belief in action, and something has to happen as a result. Brother Anthony tomorrow when you go into the doctor and when they say, well, the x-rays say that we have to amputate that finger. No, we believe in this place this morning. That there's going to be a report. And then all of your relatives and all of those people at work and all of these people in church here, they're just going to believe, yes, there is a God that still is in the miracle business. Hallelujah. You see, we don't get faith until we put it in action by the preaching of the word and by his spirit. That's why the level, you know, the defibrillator is rising. That when it comes, we need to grab it. Amen. And move with it. Amen. Respond to it. Amen. Or it's going to pass us by. We, if you've been in the church any length of time, you know the unction of God, and then you have to respond to it. You just can't, well, Jesus, maybe I'll do that later. No, no, the unction is here right now. When we mix the word with faith that is alive in us, then we see and experience the supernatural. We hear the truth. And then we feel the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, something causes us to make some moves. And we'll get a miracle that goes beyond the understanding. You know, what you need to understand is that God doesn't have to doesn't have to explain to you for you to understand what the Scripture is. You could just receive it without an explanation. God tells us faith is a gift. And a gift that is delivered by the preaching of God's word. That's why people think, well, I can believe God out in the woods, and I can believe God in my car, and I can believe God at the ball game, you know. Yeah, but your faith is going to be so depleted because you're not hearing the word of God that when you really need God to do something in your life out by the trees, nothing is going to happen for you. You are all getting a gift this morning. What are you going to do with it? Faith also can arise in our hearts when we feel the presence of God, and no words are even spoken. You know, you're feeling something that you had never felt before, and then you respond to it. Faith can also be awakened when we hear about what God has done for somebody else in the service. Now all of a sudden, our level of faith is increased. Many people who came to Jesus had never met him or even heard him preach, but they heard all about him. The water walker, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. I got to see this guy. I want him to touch me, you see. And by the time they saw Jesus and heard his words, their faith had risen to the point of action for the miracles to take place. That's why he healed all of the diseases and he cast out all of the devils, because the notoriety of Jesus and the miracles that he had performed. That's why this church is going to grow based on what Jesus has done for us. And now all of a sudden they're going to seek us out because the miracles are still happening here. It doesn't happen simply because we have the banner of Pentecost over us. It happens because God is moving within our congregation. You must believe by action, not just mental agreement with God's word. Hallelujah. James, the second chapter. I'm aware of the time. James chapter 2, starting in verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works or actions? Can faith save him? You know, I read the book. I see what the word says, and I think I believe it, but I never put it in action. It's like saying, God, you can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and you can rebuke the devourer, but I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give an offering. And so God's saying, okay, That's fine. You believe, but you have no action whatsoever. And there are people who struggle over and over and over again. Why? Because they never put their faith in action. 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works or action, it's dead being alone. Oh, I believe the preaching. I believe what you're saying, but I'm not going to walk to the altar. I'm not going to do anything about it. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my. My faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You can't believe and do absolutely nothing, folks. You got to do something with what God's word says. We err in our thinking. If God wants to perform a miracle in my life, well, he'll just do it. Peter wrote, it's not the will of God that any should perish, yet many will. So the will of God and the knowledge of the will of God does not determine the outcome of what God is going to do. Just because you have enough information doesn't mean that it's going to happen in your life. It is our perception that becomes our practice. We do these things because we know there's going to be a response of God. It's our belief that becomes our behavior. The issue isn't, do I have faith? Everyone is issued a measure of faith, but what do you do with the measure so it increases? The Bible says that when Peter walked on the water, the wind became boisterous and he lost his faith. And so we come in and we do certain things in order to be a part of the church, but then we have a storm in our life and all of a sudden is our faith depleted because of the storm? Let me ask you, was the wind blowing before he got out of the boat? Well, of course it was. The only thing that attacks his faith was his focus on God. And if you start focusing on God, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. We could see miracles in times of peace, but more miracles happen in times of trouble. We can't lose our focus, folks, or we will never see our miracle. God's ready to make some people alive this morning. God's ready to perform miracles here this morning because there's a level of faith in this place. If you'll only touch me, God, this morning, I know it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen this morning, oh God. We're setting a precedence. It happened in the first church. Why wouldn't it happen in the last church, folks? My God. Oh, my God, my God. Lord, do what only you can do this morning. Oh, God, perform what you said you would perform. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We come against every disease in this place. We rebuke every habit in this place in Jesus' name. There's more faith. There's more faith than a mustard seed in here. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Arara boye se de rebahasa tiatosia. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Miracles are happening here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. God, oh God, oh God. Haramo shatarama